Scripture lesson this morning is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I tell you what, a pastor just never knows. We can say the simplest, most benign thing, and then at the end of the service have somebody jump on us with both feet. And you can say, whoa, wait a minute. Before we talk about why you're mad at me, tell me why you're mad at me. Because we can't even remember what we said. It was so benign to us. Then thank the Lord there are other times when we could just say something almost in passing and we find out that it impacted someone in a positive way. Such was a case that occurred in 1990 in mine and Sally's second full-time appointment. It was our first Sunday, and of course I'm nervous. And I'm standing behind the door before that you go in to go into the sanctuary, and I'm watching my watch. Because the choir's downstairs in the fellowship hall where they rehearse, and it's getting close to time. So finally they come upstairs, and they were a friendly bunch over there, and they were talking and everything. And so finally, I mean, it's my first Sunday, but you know, we gotta get the show on the road. So I finally just chimed in. I said, "Y'all, let's pray and go." So they hushed, we prayed, we went in the sanctuary, we had our first Sunday, which I happened to forget the choir special that morning, but they loved me anyway. And I later found out from one of the choir members' wives that I won a certain gentleman over with that one statement. And I said, "How?" She said, "John, he's retired Army. You said, I'm punctual. We're sticking with the program. Let's get to it." And she said, "You won him over from that day." You know, I don't know the last time that even crossed my mind, but you know, as I consider Paul's prayer to the Colossians, I think that such would be part of his mindset on the prayer. Let's pray and go. In the next few minutes, we're going to explore how Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae was not for them to escape their problems. It was not for them to escape their challenges. Paul prayed that the Colossians would be so in tune with God that they would live godly, victorious lives in the midst of their difficulties and challenges. I think Paul would say, "Look, y'all, let's pray and let's go." One of the first thing we note in Paul's prayer was that he prayed that the Colossians would know the will of God. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we did this morning, we say that we are seeking for God's will to be done as it is in heaven. I may be the only one in this room. And if I am, y'all pray for me. And if I'm not, y'all pray for me anyway. But I have to admit to a dilemma. I'm not really sure I want to know. I'm not really sure I want to know what God's will is. Because you see, I think there is a more accurate question in that. Rather than, do I want to know God's will? I think the more accurate consideration is, do I want to acknowledge the will of God? Because if I know God's will, then I am confronted with whether or not I will obey God's will. I've said this before. Christianity is not rocket science. A Christian simply is one who has accepted the love and forgiveness of Jesus, and now they live their life according to the teachings and example of Jesus. That's what a Christian is. Now, if we truly believe that Jesus was God personified for 33 years on this earth, we have His life recorded in the gospel so that we can look at Jesus. And I am going to say that 99% of the time in our individual lives, discerning God's will is not that complicated. We see a situation. We see what Jesus would do. That's God's will. It's not complicated. But very likely most of us know in most situations what Jesus would lead us to do if He was physically standing beside us. But the struggle becomes acute when we attempt to reconcile the teachings and example of Jesus with our attitudes, our desires, and our actions. To my chagrin, Jesus' teaching and example often collide with my politics. And I can say that for the right and the left because Jesus was not political. And so oftentimes I look at my political leanings and I look at Jesus and to be honest, they don't match. Jesus' teaching and example often collide with my economic opinions. Notice I'm not telling you what any of those are. Jesus' teaching and example often collide with my opinion on social issues. And Jesus' teaching and example definitely collide with my thoughts and my desires when I feel like I have been wronged. Now, I could continue on and on, but I know you don't want me to, but I think you get the point. I dare say that 98 to 99% of the time in our individual lives, deep down, we know God's will. But are we willing to acknowledge that will? And if we acknowledge that will, are we willing to obey? So as Paul shows through example in his prayer for the Colossians, prayer is not striving to take what we want and convincing God to put God's power behind it. Prayer is offering ourselves to God and saying, God, you take my will and you mold it and you change it to line it up with your will. And then Paul continues his prayer that the Colossians would not only know the will of God, but they also gain the wisdom to do God's will. Paul was a very practical theologian. Now, a lot of people don't like Paul because of various ways that he's interpreted in the 21st century and this and that. A lot of people don't like him because, let's face it, I know he was writing in Greek, but Paul would fail English. I mean, man, his sentences go on and on and on and on. And then he can get lofty and float around in all of these heavenly thoughts and all of these theological thoughts that we can get lost in. But Paul always lands in the practical. He always comes to the therefore. I've taken you to all of these theological places. Therefore, this is how you carry it out in everyday life. Thus, Paul says that he prays that the Colossians not only grow to understand the will of God, but they have the wisdom to do the will of God in the encounters and issues of their everyday lives. Now that sounds straightforward enough. But back to my little list of my struggles. What do I do when Jesus' teaching and example collide with my attitudes, my thoughts, my desires? And again, maybe I'm the only one in this room, but I don't want a show of hands. But what do I do when I know what Jesus would do, but frankly, I don't like it? Yeah, I said it. I bet some of you have thought it. What do I do when I know exactly what Jesus would do, but frankly, I don't like what Jesus would do and therefore wants me to do? What do I do when I know what Jesus would do, but to me it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever? What do I do when to follow Jesus leaves me with the short end of the stick? As I understand it, we face two issues. I can follow the conventional wisdom, which is the wisdom of the world, or I can follow God's wisdom. Remember Paul's prayer for the Colossians. We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, God has allowed us humans a gift that in some ways I'm thankful for, in other ways I'm not. And that gift is free will. And in that free will, God has given me and you the choice of whether or not we will follow God's will. We have the choice. And one of the best tools that the devil makes in ample supply is rationalization. When I know God's will, but I don't want to do God's will, I don't know about you, I'm scared to get in God's face and say I'm not going to do it. So I look for the loopholes. But again, no show of hands, but anybody ever looks for the loopholes? Because you see, I can study and I can convince myself that because of the difference in the cultures between first century Palestine and 21st century America, you can't apply the same principles that Jesus wanted to apply to the first century Palestine and 21st century America. You just can't do that. And I'm not saying I should do that, but if you wanted a little lesson in it, you can come by my office and I can show you how. When I've been wronged, or I feel I've been wronged, I can find reasons in Scripture, out of context, to convince myself why I don't really have to love that person, why I don't really have to forgive that person. When Jesus collides with my politics and my economics or my social issue opinions, I convince myself that the world is so complicated today that one can't take these simple teachings of Jesus and apply them to our complicated 21st century. I mean, come on, get real. But when we do, and notice I said we, not you. When we do so to our spiritual detriment. Notice why Paul prayed for the Colossians to know God's will and then have the wisdom to apply God's will to daily life, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work as you grow in the knowledge of God. It would appear that we have a choice. We can find the loopholes, and we can do things our way. Or we can acknowledge God's will and obey God's will, even when it goes against our grain, even when we come out on the short end of the stick, Because it pleases God and produces results for God's kingdom. Now, I can only speak for John, but as I consider the brevity of life on this planet versus eternity, I'd rather please God, even if from society's perspective, I come out on the losing end. Now, to this point, I'll admit, it sounds like following God is an arduous chore. But remember the conclusion of Paul's prayer. I'll give you a warning, it's not the conclusion of the sermon, but the conclusion of Paul's prayer. Remember the conclusion of Paul's prayer. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you, and catch these next few words, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Did you hear that? I actually considered presenting this prayer in two messages, but I decided not to for two reasons. One, I don't know how many of you I'll see two Sundays in a row. And secondly, I've been told that y'all don't remember what I preached from one Sunday to the next, so we probably have to spend too much time reviewing next Sunday, this Sunday, to put in another one next Sunday. So I'm going to try to squeeze in this second part in a few moments. To this point, we have stressed the crucial nature of being honest with ourselves and of acknowledging and obeying God's will, even when it's not to our apparent benefit, and even when it is to our apparent detriment. Then, for lack of a better term, we come to the benefit. So if I knew, I'd see y'all two Sundays in a row, and y'all wouldn't forget this Sunday, next Sunday, I go further into the benefit, but I'm going to squeeze it in. But first, notice that Paul prays for the Colossians to be strengthened by the power of God. I'm not as articulate as I would like to be, as I hear some of my brother and sister's pastors. I'm trying to grow in that process. This is one of those cases. But I can give witness to it. As I've said more than once, I know in my own life the stark difference between the times I have tried to live life as I've looked for the loopholes and when I've tried to live life according to my power and my wisdom, and the times that I have tried to surrender to God's. Exactly how it works, I don't have the words to explain. But I do know that when I submit to God's will, and when I submit to doing what I know Jesus would do, and when I relax and I stop trying to figure everything out and I stop trying to make life fair, I find that I experience far more peace. And I fulfill my opportunities and challenges in a far more Christ-like way. And notice I say Christ-like way, not necessarily society's definition of being successful. Then we do come to the benefits. And I'm going to squeeze them in. They should be another sermon. Maybe when the lectionary text comes up again, we'll focus more on the benefits. First, Paul prays that the Colossians may endure everything with patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. When Paul is speaking of enduring everything with patience, he's not talking about trudging through life merely surviving. The Greek word Paul uses is one depicting more of a victory. It's saying, Paul is saying to the Colossians, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to have hardship. You're going to experience unfairness. You're going to experience hurt, both physically and emotionally. But Paul's prayer declares that they can live above it. That in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the heartaches, in the midst of the hardships, in the midst of the unfairness, they still, because of the power of God, can live in an attitude of victory. Through God's strength, even in the most difficult of times, we can experience the joy through the attitude of gratitude for God's faithfulness. And then Paul does conclude to read once more. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God the Father, who has established you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. From society's perspective, following the teachings and example of Jesus may make us look like losers from time to time, and I have to admit, I really don't care for that. But listen to what Paul says is the alternative. I may sometimes lose in this life, but I can have the victory over the emotional and spiritual destruction that attempts to overwhelm me. I sometimes lose in this life because of following Jesus' way, but I have the anticipation in heaven where Paul declares in Romans, I will inherit the same inheritance as Jesus. Win in this life, get the same inheritance as Jesus. To me, it doesn't sound like much of a contest. Though in the everyday living of life, it's not always that easy. So let's pray and go. Let's pray learning more of God's will daily. Let's pray gaining the wisdom to live the teachings and example of Jesus daily. Let's go into life obeying the will of God, producing the results that build God's kingdom. And in so doing, we'll conquer the negatives of this life. And in God's time, enter into an inheritance that we can't even imagine. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, many of us have to admit that we understand exactly what you're saying, and most of the time we understand exactly what you would have us to do. But living it out is not always so cut and dry. So, gracious Lord, I pray for myself and anyone who would agree with these sentiments that you would forgive me for the time I've looked for the loopholes, those times I've rationalized my way out of following your will, and give me the strength to obey your will and to always have in the forefront of my mind the rewards of this life versus the inheritance of Jesus. Gracious Lord, you know each person in this room. You know our struggles. You know our love for you. May we daily learn more of your will. May we daily trust and obey that will. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.